In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. As they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. They were not healed instantly. They were not cleansed at their arrival in the temple. They were cleansed while they were on a journey of faith. That journey was in response to that command that our Lord Jesus Christ gave them. Go and show yourselves to the priest. The men in this morning's gospel were victims of a loathsome disease, that disease that was considered highly contagious. But it was not just for hygienic reasons that they were consigned to the fringes of society. We must remember that they were outcasts because of the modern practice of blaming the victim, which had very ancient roots. Something must have happened in your family. Why this is happening to you? That was how they saw it those days. In St. John's Gospel, Jesus meets a man who was blind from birth. And what was the question that the disciples of Jesus asked him? Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was the mindset during those days. So the prevailing belief was that disfigurement of any kind was a sign of God's disfavor. Such an awful disease as leprosy was surely an indication that the victim was a terrible sinner, that he would morally contaminate anyone with whom he had extended contact. So lepers during those days were reduced to begging and scavenging for a living. They were always on the streets extending their hands for money to sustain them. And they were required to warn normal people of their approach. In Sunday school, I remember the teacher telling us that they would always have bells ringing. Leper, 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 leper coming. So you would get out of the way. Since no one but a priest could examine a leper and pronounce him cured of the disease, the command to go and show themselves to the priest carried an implied promise of healing. But the healing was not immediate, and the healing was contingent upon their obedience, upon their faith in the implied promise of Jesus Christ. If these men had not believed that Jesus had the power to forgive them their sins and to heal them of their disease, they would not have gone to show themselves to the priests. But these men did believe, and they did obey, and they did go. And as they went, they were cleansed. It is common knowledge, my friends, among psychologists, that a change in behavior can lead to a change in self-assessment and even a change in circumstances. Yes, a change in behavior can lead to a change in circumstances. If you begin to act with confidence, you will gain confidence and people will begin to treat you differently. If you act boldly, you will gain courage. And it is true too that sometimes you sing because you are happy, but it is also true that sometimes you are happy because you are singing. Isn't that so? So Jesus was telling these men to act as if they were healthy, and in so doing they became healthy. But my dear friends, there is more than just psychology at work here. What is at work here? There is faith. And there is the power of God. When faith and the power of God come together, there is healing. Let me repeat. When faith and power of God come together, there is healing. When faith and power of God come together, there is forgiveness. There is restoration. There is renewal. And there is salvation. When faith and the power of God come together. Much has been made, and many sermons have been preached about the ingratitude of the nine men. Remember those nine men who failed to come back and thank Jesus for what he had done for them. No doubt these men violated the rules of courtesy, but we must remember that they did obey the law. They did obey the law. And they did follow the instructions of Jesus to the letter. How then, remember that Jesus also told them to show themselves to the priests. And that was what these men did. The Samaritan could not do that because the priests would not have considered him to be a real Jew. But the Samaritan saw something that the other nine did not see. The nine saw Jesus as a prophet who predicted that God would heal them. When he did, they no doubt gave thanks to God in the temple, no doubt. But the Samaritan perceived that apart from the law, apart from the sacrifices and the rituals of the temple and the ministry of the priests, he could deal with God through Jesus Christ, just as God had dealt with him through Jesus. He saw things differently. St. Paul says in 1 Timothy, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men. That man is Christ Jesus. The author of the Hebrews also says he is the mediator of a better covenant than the old. So in recognizing that Jesus is the mediator, the Samaritan leper opens the door for those of us who are not Jews by birth to bypass the law and to bypass the sacrificial system and approach God through faith in Christ, both to receive his blessing and to thank God for his mercy. They cried out, "Lord God, have mercy on us." And God responded in Jesus to give them that mercy. You and I, my brothers and sisters, are in a similar situation spiritually to the lepers in the gospel. We are the outcasts of Eden. All of us are morally flawed. All of us are unfit for divine society. We, like the lepers, are cleansed of our sins and admitted to the kingdom of God through the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this does not happen all at once. It happens as we undertake the journey of faith in obedience to the Lord's command. The Christian life is a journey, as I pointed out this morning at the 7:45 Mass, that coming to church every Sunday, it's a journey where when we stop here, we are required to do something. The church is like the gas station. The car cannot continue driving unless it stops to refuel. And that is what we have come here to do on Sundays, to refuel, to start another week. That's part of the Christian journey. And those who don't come to refuel will not be in a very good situation, I'm afraid. Jesus, and again, when, as I spoke this morning with Colonel and Mrs. Thackeray, that's one of the things the media doesn't mention about Queen Elizabeth, that she was in church every Sunday, no matter where she was, to refuel. That's where she gained her faith. That is why she was able to exhibit those things that Colonel read this morning. Love, charity, faith, forgiveness. You see. So, I believe, as Jesus promises, that when we come to present ourselves before God, we will be found acceptable and pronounced fit for his kingdom, because our faith in Christ will be met by the power of God mediated to us through Jesus Christ. If we believe that, my friends, we should start now to act as if we were already the kind of people we are intended to be. We should speak the truth to each other. We should gladly bear each other's burdens. I like that hymn Karen chose this morning. My faith looks up to thee. We should readily forgive each other. We should try to live at peace with all of God's creation. Those are just a few of the things that our Lord Jesus Christ instructs us to do. As we journey through the liturgical year together, we learn many more things about the kind of life we are expected to live. It is here that we hear how we are to live. It is in the church. It is the church that told Queen Elizabeth how to live her faith. As we walk the path of faith together, we gradually become the kind of people God intends for us to be. Day by day, we are healed. Day by day, we are strengthened. Day by day, we are molded into the image of Christ. Provided that, like lepers, we trust his promises and we obey his commandments. As they went, they were cleansed. So it is with us, my friends. Amen.